Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Nun. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins three lines from the top of daf nun. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance in the margin where you will notice a nosei/mivne heading, a topic heading combined with a structural note. A bow tie shape appears, and it highlights the expression ibaya laho, questions are raised. Two she'elos, there are two questions, bhavonas das rabbonon, in an attempt to understand the opinion of the rabbonon, ve'inyan shi'urei zman l'chazora, regarding the amount of time a wronged party, the victim of oino, has to back out. One situation, b'pochos mishtos, where the, we'll call it the overcharge or the mischarge, was to the tune of less than a sixth, and bebitul mekach, a situation where there was a mischarge above and beyond the 1/6 rate. When we say mischarge, we are referring to cases where either the purchaser, the lokech, is ripped off, or the seller is underpaid. As we go on in the Gemara, we will see additional markings that we'll deal with at the time. The diamond, as you can see, highlights the opinion of the Rabbonan. Do take note, as we often recommend in Gemara markings, to look ahead, scan ahead. Do you see the layout of the daf? Do you see where the next bow tie appears? And you'll see that about a third of the way down from the top of daf Nun Omid Beis. If you are, of course, a first-time listener, it will be hard to understand the points mentioned, being that we are continuing with topics that we've been discussing in our recent shiurim. So, by all means, familiarize yourself with the earlier recordings in order to appreciate what we're discussing today. Ibaya laho, the Gemara asks, pochos mishtus l'rabonon, where the mischarge is under 1/6, according to the Rabbonin. The mention of the Rabbonin, of course, is in contrast with Rabbi Tarfon and the story involving the Tagre Lud, who Rabbi Tarfon introduced a totally different Ono rate of 1/3. But within the Rabbonin's opinion, the Ono rate is 1/6. Here, we're dealing with a mischarge of under 1/6. We can use as a common example, or without getting into all the variables, simply say a person bought something and he was ripped off, but he overpaid, but less than 1/6 more than the market value. So the attitude, or I should say the law regarding a mischarge of less than 1/6, la'alter havya mechila, is the foregoing of that extra amount. Is that immediate? Mechila, la'alter means immediate. Mechila, the foregoing of that. Oli b'chdei shira l'tagor l'krovo. We should have mentioned, but this of course is on the heels of what we've seen in our previous shurim, that less than 1/6, we say that a person is foregoing on that. He's not, he doesn't have the power, we'll say, to demand it back. 1/6 of a mischarge, so that the wronged party can demand it back, but the deal still goes through with the return of the extra money. And bitul mekach, which we referred to earlier, an overcharge is where the entire deal is called off. Here we're dealing with the pochos mishtus, less than 1/6 mischarge, and we say the wrong party is foregoing on getting that money back, is that immediate? In other words, as soon as the deal is made and there's this mischarge, that's it. He doesn't see that, he doesn't get that in return. Or is it not so immediate, but it's b'chdei shiyira l'tagor l'krovo? This is these are expressions we saw in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Tes. The amount of time in which to show the item for an assessment, show it to a tagor, another merchant who's an expert in values, or to a relative, someone who can give you an honest assessment as to the value of the item. Let us just say, for illustration purposes, that would take an hour till you get to the tagor or the relative. Now, within the hour, according to this side of possibilities, you could demand your money back. But once the hour goes by, then we say mechila. Then you're foregoing on seeing that money returned. There's a bracketed section, and right after the brackets, you can see my. The question is then culminates and says, "Well, what's the din?" We have a starred explanation in the margin that reads as follows, as far as the presence of these brackets. Acharei ha-sograyim, after the brackets, ha-gamor mesiemes is ha-sheila, b'ma shekosuv mai. The word mai is a conclusion of the question. Is there a time frame, or is it immediate when it comes to mechila of the pochos mishtus? B'soch ha-sograyim, ha-gamor bolchenes echod me'afshorios im nitan b'chlal aloso. Within the brackets, the Gemara is going to be analyzing the Bayes possibility that we just read. Is that really a tenable possibility? In other words, is it possible to talk about the Mechila as being something other than immediate? So now, let's go within the brackets. The intent Salomar, and if you say, like the Bayes suggestion, Bechtei Shira Letago Lekrovo, that the time frame for getting your money back, the extra money that you were charged to get it back, is within that time frame. Like we said, within an hour, you could still demand your money back. My iko bein shtus lepochus mishtus. What would the difference then be between a mischarge of a sixth versus the case we're dealing with of a mischarge under a sixth? After all, in the case of a mischarge of a sixth, we say, and we saw this in the Mishnah, that according to the Rabbanan, you can demand your money back if you discover the mischarge, the overcharge, within that time frame, within the hour, enough time to show it to a tagor. But if that time frame passes, if that time lapses, that's it. Even at 1/6, you can't get your money back. So if that be the case, we're applying the same standard to pochos mishtus and shtus, the sixth. Why? So then where is there a difference? Why is there any difference, or why is there any need to then note two different amounts, a sixth and less than a sixth, if we deal with them the same way? The Gemara says that it could be the same time frame, but we don't deal with them the same way. Ika. There is a difference. We asked the line before, my ika bein shtus vos mishtus. We answer ika, there is a difference. Deilu shtus, if the mischarge is a sixth, yodo al yona, the wronged party has the upper hand. Rotza chayze, rotza kainu masirina. He can call off the entire deal, or he can say, the deal will go through, but I want my money back. Vilu pochus mishtus, when it comes to a mischarge of less than a sixth, kana umasyuna, the deal will go through under all circumstances, and if it's within the time frame, you can demand the mischarged amount, you can demand it back. We go back to the basic question as well. At the pochos mishtus, which we call mechila, person is foregoing, is it immediate, or is it b'chtei shiyara letago lekrovoi? We try to answer. And you'll notice we have a house marking, and in the margin it appears as a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give and take style of Gemara. So we start an answer here, an attempt. And when we get to Amud Beis, four lines from the top, you'll see an inverted house marking. Toshma. We quote from our Mishnah, where it says that Rabbi Tarfon, after increasing the amount that constitutes Ainoa to one-third, he then said that the time frame of reversal is a whole day. And the Tagrei Lud that initially were happy with their with the chance of getting away with a much larger profit margin, then hearing that the time frame of reversal is a whole day, so they chazru ledivrei chachamim. Those merchants went back and said, we would prefer to go with the chachamim that said the time frame for reversal, albeit a much smaller amount, one-sixth, is a b'chdei shira letagar. Savrua. Now, in order to have this answer be at least a good attempt, and you have to make an assumption, and that's what Savrua indicates. This is a very common word. It's a word that's somewhat common, I should say, throughout the Shas. When you see the word Savrua, it indicates an initial way of thinking, but almost all cases, when you see the word Savrua, it will be changed, or it'll be reversed. So the initial thinking is Savrua. Pachos mishlish the Rabbi Tarfon, kepachos mishtos the Rabbanan Domi. Less than a third overcharge, according to Rabbi Tarfon, is the same as less than a sixth, which is our topic, according to the Rabbanan. We want to know what is the din with regard to less than a sixth. So what we're, how will we discover what is the din with regard to less than a sixth by way of time frame? We'll try to understand it through what happened with regard to Rabbi Tarfon and the merchants of Lud. E amres bishlam apochus mishus rabbonon b'chdei sheyare letago lekrovo. If you take this approach, that under a sixth, namely the mechila rate, is not an immediate foregoing, but it's b'chdei sheyare. We said with it, you have a, there's an hour of, that we can allow for reversal. Ola Rabbi Tarfon, and according to Rabbi Tarfon, on the we're keeping things parallel, kol hayom, there's a whole day in which the customer could reverse the deal. Mishum hachi chazru. It's because of that that the Tagrei Lud, the merchants of Lud, were motivated to go back to the Rabbanan approach. We're going to read on a little bit more in the Gemara, and then we'll go over the Gemara with explanation. Let's just read a couple more lines. So if you take this approach, that the Pachos Mishus of Rabbanan is B'chdei Shiyare, and the approach of Rabbi Tarfon to the Rabbonans B'chdei Shiyare is to say Kol Hayom, then I understand why the Tagrei Lud would go back to the Rabbonan, because the Rabbonan were enabling the merchants to get away with it in a much shorter time frame. Within an hour they'll be able to pocket that nice profit of up to a sixth. Whereas according to Rabbi Tarfon, they wouldn't be sure that they're going to be able to keep the money until a whole day goes by. And within a whole day going by, there's plenty of time for the customer to discover that he was mischarged. But if you're going to take the other approach, that pochus mishtus, according to Rabbanan, is an immediate forgiving. Now, we continue at the top of Amud Beis. Rabbi Tarfon nami la'alter havya mechila, and according to Rabbi Tarfon, it will also be immediate. When the Rabbanan say b'chdei shiyire, so we know there Rabbi Tarfon expanded it to a whole day, But where the Rabbanan would say immediate, we're going to then assume that Rabbi Tarfon would be parallel to that and also be immediate. So that it would come out, it would be reading the top line again, it would be Tarfon Nami La'alta Havya Mechila. A merchant is able to get away with a major increase in price, up to a third more. And that would be an immediate profit, because the customer would be Moichel immediately. Amai Chozru, why in the world would the merchants in Lud want to go back to the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan were enabling the vendor to get away with a mischarge of up to a sixth. Why would the vendor, who would be given, according to Rabbi Tarfon, the ability to get away with a mischarge of up to a third, why would he want to go back to the approach taken by the Rabbanan? But the Rabbi Tarfon nichol lehutvei, remaining with Rabbi Tarfon would be much better for those Tagrei Lud, for those merchants, those vendors in Lud. The mai the Rabbanan kol mashvilu oino, that which the Rabbanan consider oino, a 1/6. Focus on that for a moment. 1/6 overcharge. The Rabbi Tarfon avi mechila. According to Rabbi Tarfon, that's called mechila. That's because it's less than a third. And the vendor would be able to keep that money immediately. So, after all is said and done, it would make more sense for us to, in order to understand the Mishnah, where it said that the Tagrei Lud went back to the approach of the Chachamim, it must be that the Chachamim's idea of Mechila is one of what we call Bichtei Shigira LeTagor. It's not immediate, but it's much less time than Kol Hayom. And because it's much less time than Kol Hayom of Rabbi Tarfon, we understand why the merchants in Lud went back to the approach of the Chachamim, which would enable them to pocket, albeit a lesser amount, but much faster. Here, at this point, the Gemara reverses what we just constructed, and says, "Mi savris pochos mishlish l'Rabbi Tarfon kepochos mishlish l'Rabban Adomi." In the assumption we made, when we said savrua, that less than a third of Rabbi Tarfon is like less than a sixth of the Rabbanan, who says so? Lo, not so. Rather, mishtus v'ad shlish l'Rabbi Tarfon, kishtus atzmo l'Rabbanan domi. The range of from a sixth up till a third of Rabbi Tarfon is to be paralleled to the 1/6 itself, but not, as we said before, to less than a sixth. Therefore, the attempt to reach a conclusion regarding the Shir Mechila from Rabbi Tarfon's stance of from 1/6 up to the third, and the fact that the Tagrei Lud went back to the Rabbanan, is not going to serve as a source for answering our question, because the range of Rabbi Tarfon from a sixth to a third is paralleled to the Rabbanan's approach of 1/6 and not to less than a sixth, which is the subject of our current discussion. The Gemara asks, well, ihachi, if that be the case, that pochos mishlish of Rabbi Tarfon is like the shtus atzmo of the Rabbanan, b'mai somchu meikara, what was the source of joy of the merchants of Lud at the outset? After all, 1/6, according to the Rabbanan, is essentially the same as from 1/6 till a third by Rebbe Tarfon. In both cases, the overcharge will have to be returned. In both cases, the deal will go through, but the overcharge would have to be returned. So why would the merchants of Lud have been so joyful when they heard Rebbe Tarfon's increased range from a sixth up till a third? The whatever laws had applied to the Rabbanim would apply here in the same way. We have a bracketed section. If we skip it immediately, we will see an answer to this particular question of why were the Tagri Lud initially happy with Rebbe Tarfon's approach if Rebbe Tarfon's range is then treated legally the same way as the Rabbanan deal with 1/6 itself. The Gemara answers, and I'm skipping here initially after the brackets, Samchu b'shtus atzma. The Tagri Lud were initially happy with Rebbe Tarfon's ruling because of its effects regarding exactly 1/6 overcharge. The Rebbe Tarfon Mechila, according to Rebbe Tarfon, 1/6 overcharge exactly is still within the realm of Mechila, of forgiving, where there will be no return of the money. The Rabbanan, I know, 1/6 according to the Rabbanan, however, constitutes oino, which is an amount that could be demanded in return. So before any issue of time frame came up, the Tagri Lud heard Rebbe Tarfon declaring that 1/6 exactly has the din of Mechila, and that made them very happy. Oh, Mechila means we can keep it, we can pocket it, we'll be able to get away with it and have to make any, we won't have to make any compensation. Whereas according to the Rabbanan, that would be Oino. But then they heard later on that Rebbe Tarfon's entitlement is one of a whole day, then whereas the Rabbanan held Bechdei Shire, so they went back to the Rabbanan. We skipped a bracketed section. Let us go back to that now and try to understand why, what's going to happen now. We saw a house marking with the point facing up, Ihochi. Ihochi was an attempt to ask on the rejection that we had just before it. In our rejection, we said that under a third, according to Rebbe Tarfon, meaning from a sixth up to a third, according to Rebbe Tarfon, is like the Rabbanan's opinion of 1/6 itself. And at that point, we said, therefore, we can't use the Rebbe Tarfon story to shed light on our question of Pochos Mishtos. If that is to be accepted, then why is a question that is raised later in the Gemara, the next, we'll see the next bow tie, why is it raised as a question at all? By the fact that the Gemara will raise its question, is the basis then for this Ihochi, for the basis for our trying to reject the rejection. Let's go into the Gemara and hopefully it'll become a little clearer when we deal with the text. Let's read again from Ihochi. If at the end of the line where the house point is facing upwards, if so, that from Shtus ad Shlish, according to Rebbe Tarfon, is paralleled to the case of 1/6 itself of the Rabbanan, when we ask, Ihochi b'may somchu mei korah, what could have possibly been the basis of the merchants of Lodz's initial happiness with Rabbi Tarfon's approach. Tifshot, we're continuing now in the bracketed section. Should we not be able to resolve the issue raised in the question later? And by the fact that it's raised as a question, it shows that we can't come to this conclusion. But if this is correct, then Tifshot, we should have been able to conclude that which is raised as a question later on. Let us conclude through the fact that they were happy with Rabbi Tarfon initially. The bittul mekach, the Rabbana, bittul mekach is the amount of overcharge above a sixth. Le'olam chayzer, the deal can always be reversed. The kevon, the omerlu, Rabbi Tarfon, havyo oino. When the Rabbi Tarfon ruled, that above a sixth is called oino and not called bittul mekach, samchu. So the merchants were very happy. Of course, if up till that point, up till Rabbi Tarfon's entering the picture, above a sixth would have been a deal that could have been reversed open-endedly, that doesn't put merchants in a very comfortable position. Then upon hearing Rabbi Tarfon's ruling that, well, above a sixth, up till a third is called oino. It's not open-ended, an open-ended reversal of the deal. You could make the profit. You can enjoy the profit because it's not bittul mekach according to Rabbi Tarfon. Ki omar lohu kol ayom. Then when Rabbi Tarfon revealed to them that true above a sixth is oino, but the customer has all day in which he could still reverse the deal, Chazru, they went back to the approach of the Rabbanan. Because according to the Rabbanan, a sixth itself, for example, would be oino, and only after an hour they could make off with the profit. The e salkadait of the bittul mekach the Rabbanan, if you were to think that above a sixth, according to the Rabbanan, is reversible, but only within that short amount of time of Bechdesh Yir Letagar, b'may samchu, what would have been the explanation of the initial happiness of the Tagrei Lod, of the merchants of Lod? Bittul mekach, above a sixth, b'chteshira, they wait just a short amount of time, wait an hour, and they could keep that inflated profit. Why would they have ever been happy initially upon hearing Rabbi Tarfon? So now we look at what we've just pointed out, and we're raising a question on on what we call the dechia from before. Namely, if from a sixth to a third, according to Rabbi Tarfon, is like a sixth of, according to Rabbanan themselves, then it would have been obvious that above a sixth, according to the Rabbanan, which we call bittul mekach, they would have held Le'olam Chayzer. Why then is this issue even brought up later on? The Gemara says it could very well be that above a sixth, according to Rabbi Tarfon, is like one sixth, according to the Rabbanan. And that in truth, above a sixth would have been le'olam chayzer. And still, we can explain why the Tagrei Lod were initially happy with Rabbi Tarfon's ruling. Because within Rabbi Tarfon's ruling, samchu b'shtus atzma, they they were happy with the way we would deal with 1/6 exactly. To the Rabbi Tarfon, Mechila. And according to the Rabbanan, I know. According to Rabbi Tarfon, there would have been a foregoing of that. And they, without getting into the issue of time frame, 1/6 overcharge, we'd be able to keep that profit. Whereas according to Rabbanan, there would be a possibility of reversal of that. So that is an explanation of how why the Tagrei Lud would have been initially happy with Rabbi Tarfon's ruling. And as far as Bittul Mekach, according to the Rabbanan, that might very well be Bichdei Shira the Tagor. And if you'll ask, why then would the Tagrei Lud have been happy with Rabbi Tarfon? Because Rabbi Tarfon made what the Rabbanan call Oino. Rabbi Tarfon makes that into Mechila. And at that initial stage of thinking, the Tagrei Lud thought they could have gotten away with that profit immediately. So as far as room for asking the question of Bittul Mekach, the Rabbanan, is it Le'olam Chozer or is it Bechdei Shira L'Tagrei L'Krovo? Both possibilities are still open, but we can still explain why the Tagrei Lud were initially happy with Rabbi Tarfon's ruling. Even if the Bittul Mekach of the Rabbanan happened to be Bichdei Shira L'Tagrei L'Krovo. So as far as the sukya that we've just discussed from the most recent Botai, where we opened up today's shiur, Pochos Mishtus of the Rabbanon, is it immediate Mechila or is it Bichdei Shira L'Tagrei? We don't have any answer for that, because as far as the Gemara is concerned, and the initial attempt to bring proof to that from the Tagrei Lud and their interaction with the Shitas Rabbanan and Rabbi Tarfon, that whole discussion surrounded the opinion of the Chachamim regarding a Shtus itself. But as far as Pochos Mishtus, that didn't figure in the discussion as far as the Mishnah is concerned. So when you look over the structure of the Gemara, we thought we had an answer, and that was introduced with the first house marking, with the point facing up, but by the time you get to the end of the give and take in the Gemara, the last house marking that you see is an inverted house, which indicates that we don't have an answer to our initial question. A new question, Ibayaloho. Bittul Mekach L'Rabbanan. An overcharge above 1/6, according to the Rabbanan, where we say the deal can be called off. La'olam chozer o dilma b'chdei shira l'tagrei l'krovo. Is it a deal that it can be called off in an open-ended fashion, without any time restriction? Or possibly the deal can be called off provided the wronged party, we'll say the customer who was ripped off, does so, discovers the mischarge and demands the reversal within the time frame of Bichdei Shira L'Tagrei L'Krovo. As we continue in the Gemara, you'll notice a bracketed section. The structure of this Gemara is very similar to the previous Botai, where we were analyzing the other aspect of the Rabbanan, namely Pochos Mishtus. Here we're analyzing the Rabbanan above a Shtus. We're giving two time frames in Aleph O Dilma Beis. Do we say the Oilam Choser or Bichdei Shira L'Tagrei L'Krovo? Just like in the first bow tie, we gave you two possibilities by way of time frame. within the brackets here as we did before. The Gemara says, can you really raise both of these as possibilities? Can you suggest the base possibility of Bechdei Shireh? Which, by the way, is the same kind of question that we raised in our previous bracketed section. After the brackets, the question culminates with the word my. So what is the din? That having been said, let's now continue within the bracketed section. If you're going to present that as one of our possibilities, that bitol mekach is restricted time-wise, my iko bein shtus liyeser al shtus, what will then the practical difference be between 1/6 versus above a sixth? At 1/6, the shiur zman, the time frame of reversal, was that bichdei shireh. We said before, like approximately an hour. What's the difference between then shtus and yoyser mishtus? Even yoyser mishtus, which is bitol mekach, also within the hour, if it's not reversed, it goes through. Ika, there is a difference. De'ilu shtus mishinisana choyzer. When it comes to 1/6, the person that was ripped off can reverse the deal. V'ilu yeser al shtus, however, a mischarge of more than a sixth, shneim chozrin. Both parties can call off the deal. So there remains a practical difference, even if you say that the shiur zman of reversal, the time frame for reversal of bitul mechach, is in fact bichdei shireh. My, so what is the time frame regarding bitul mechach of the rabbanon? Ta shma. So we try to conclude this question. Notice we have a long marking here. We try to conclude this from what we saw in the Mishnah. Chazru ledivrei chachamim. The Tagri Lud eventually went back to accept the approach of the Chachamim, that a sixth is called Aina, and not and above that is Bitul Mekach, as opposed to Rabbi Tarfon, who said up till the third is still called Aina. E Amris Bishlama Bitul Mekach L'Rabbonon. If you say that above a sixth, according to the Rabbonon, which we call Bitul Mekach, is bichdei shireh letagar oy lekroifoy, and not a permanent type reversal, but it's a time restricted reversal. Ule Rabbi Tarfon kol hayom, and above a sixth, according to Rabbi Tarfon, is a whole day in which that can be reversed. Mishum hachi chazru. That's why after hearing Rabbi Tarfon's time frame, the Tagrei Lud, the merchants of Lud, went back to the Rabbonon's approach. Eliyamer's bitul mekach leRabbonon leolam choizer. However, if you're going to say above a sixth, according to the Rabbonon, is an open-ended reversal, the customer can always call off the deal. Amai chozru. Why would the Tagrei Lud? Why would those merchants in Lud want to go back to the Rabbonon's approach? But the Rabbi Tarfon nicha lehutfei. Sticking with Rabbi Tarfon would have been better. To komashvi lehu oino kol hayoyim v'sulo. According to Rabbi Tarfon, the amount above a sixth is merely oino. It's not a call off of a deal. It's not bitul mekach. It's merely oino, and it's within a day. The Tagrei Lud could actually make off with the profit, whereas according to the Rabbanon, the deal can always be called off. So it would make much more sense that the Rabbanon were offering a relatively short time frame for bitul mekach. The Gemara responds, says that we can't conclude from the fact that the Tagrei Lud went back to the Chachomim. It could be that the Chachomim's bitul mekach is really le'olam. Why then would they go? Why would the merchants go back to the Rabbonin? Because bitul mekach lo shchiach. An overcharge above a sixth is uncommon. Therefore, as far as the Tagrei Lud are concerned, they can avoid charging something, making an overcharge above a sixth. They can make an overcharge of 1/6, and going back to the Rabbanan would be beneficial, because at 1/6, the time frame is Bechdei Shireh, whereas according to Rabbi Tarfon, it was a whole day in which it could be called off. Therefore, they went back to the Rabbanan because of the 1/6 itself. And just to repeat ourselves, above a sixth is an uncommon situation anyway. So that true above a sixth might be Le'olam Chozer, but it's not something that, it's not a situation that the Targum Luda would have concerned themselves with to begin with. Omar Rova, Hilchisa, Pochos Mishtus, Nikne Mekach. Less than a sixth, the deal goes through, the deal holds. Rashi points out that it goes through immediately. La'alter, Nikne Mekach, immediately. Yoiser al Shtus Bitl Mekach. Above a sixth, the deal can be called off, and both parties could call off the deal. Shtus, a mischarge of 1/6, Kana Umachsir Oino. The deal goes through. The basic transaction sticks, but the overcharge must be returned. Vizeh, whether it's Oino or Bitol Mekach, Bechdeshir Letago Lekrovo. The time frame is limited. It's limited to the Bechdeshireh, and not like we raised before as a possibility that with regard to Bitol Mekach, it might be an open-ended possible reversal. Tanya Kavose de Rava. And here we bring a Tanaic source that supports Rava's approach. And when we say supports Rava's approach, we're referring specifically to the first opinion in this source, the opinion of Rabbi Nosson. Oino, pachos mishtus nikne mekach. An overcharge of less than a sixth, the deal goes through immediately. Yeser al shtus, bitol mekach. Above a sixth, the deal can be called off, and both parties can call for the reversal of it. Shtus kana umachzir eino, divrei Rabbi Nosson. At 1/6, the deal goes through, but the overcharge has to be returned. That is Rabbi Nosson's opinion, and that is what Rava is based on. Rabbi Yehuda Anosi Omer, Yad Moichu al Yoino. Rabbi Yehuda says that the seller has the upper hand. Rotsa Omer lo tein li mechi. If a vendor, a seller, was ripped off, he was underpaid, he can say, give me back my item, or add to the price that you paid for it. Add the required amount to reflect the value of the item. Vizeh, whether it's Oino or Bitol Mekach, Bechdei Shira Letagor Oy Lekrovoy. Before we continue in the Gemara text, we glance at the side in our margin under the Nosei, the topic heading, Dinoi Shel Rav Nachman. We will see Rav Nachman's ruling. Shiur Zman Shenosnoi Chachomim Lechazor. The amount of time that the Chachomim accounted for, enabling a wronged party to back out, namely Bechdei Shireh, the amount of time in which a person could show it to a merchant for assessment, that amount of time, Ne'emar B'Lokeach, that's said with regard to the purchaser. Avol Moicher, a seller, Shemargish Shenisaneh, that feels he was wronged, he was underpaid, he is able to back out, to insist on a return of the money or the additional payment that's due to him in an open-ended fashion. It's not time-bound. The Gemara, four lines from the bottom. Ad mosai mutar lahachzir, ad kedei shiire letagor lekrovo. Until when can a wronged party back out? if he does so within the amount of time that he would have been able to show the item for assessment to a merchant or to a relative. Amar Rav Nachman, Loi Shanu, this teaching of the Mishnah was taught only Elo Lekech, namely the amount of time of Ad Kadesh Yireh LeTagor or LeKrovoi is relevant only with regard to a purchaser. A purchaser is the one who has the item in his hand and he has the ability to show it to the Tagor for assessment. Avol Moicher, someone who sold an item, he no longer has it in his possession and he feels he was underpaid. Lo'olam Choser, his ability to back out is open-ended. It can be even beyond the time of Bichdei Shiyareh LeTagor. How is a mocher going to be able to prove that he was undercharged? He'll have to find an item similar to that which he sold. And the item, the similar item, goes for a higher price than he received. So until he finds a similar item, that could take a long time. So we don't have a time restriction with regard to a mocher, a seller of an item who feels that he was underpaid. Neimo Messiah Lei. Shall we say that the following Tanaic source, our Mishnah, supports Rav Nachman? And notice this is a long, we have this as a long question. The question being, can we say that the Mishnah supports Rav Nachman, making the distinction between Lokeach and Moicher? What does it say in the Mishnah? Chozru l'divrei chachamim. The Tagrei Lud, after hearing Rabbi Tarfon's extended amount of time for reversal of deal, they went back to adopting the approach of the Chachamim. If you say that the Mocher, like Rav Nachman said, can back out in an open-ended fashion, we continue at the top of Daf Nun Aleph. Mishum Hochi Chozru. Because of that, they went back to the Rabbanan. We look at Rashi at the top. Mishum Hochi Chozru, Sheheim Hoyu Moichrim. The Tagrilud were sellers. V'einon Nehenin Baharchova Zman Hachazora de Rabbi Tarfon. They don't benefit from Rabbi Tarfon's time extension of a full day. Shereafilu l'rabbonon li'olam chozrin. According to the Rabbonon, their ability to reverse to back out is also it's open ended. Elo hi amris moicher nami kiloikeach domi. If you'll say that the time frame regarding a mocher that was underpaid is like the time frame of the lokeach, namely bichdei shire, my nafka lehumina ki hechi da avdi le rabbona takanta le lokeach hochi nami avdi le rabbona takanta le mocher. Why would the Tagrei Lud want to abandon Rebbe Tarfon when, just like he, by the way, the term Rabbonon in this context is a reference to Rebbe Tarfon. Just like Rebbe Tarfon, he extended the time for the purchasers, namely Kol Hayom, so too he would have extended the time for the merchants, for the Tagrei Lud themselves, giving them an entire day, if they were, let us say, underpaid, to reverse the deal. Why then were they motivated to go to the Rabbanan? The Gemara answers, Tagrei Lud lo shchiach d'to. The Tagrei Lud would not have benefited from the extended time, because they were expert vendors, and hence it was very unlikely that they would have been underpaid. so that we can't necessarily conclude from the Tagri Lud having, let's say, benefited from an extended time to restate what the point we're trying to make is that you cannot say from the Mishnah of Chazru LeDivrei Chachamim that we have necessarily support to Rav Nachman that said Moicher LeOilam Chozer. As we said in the Gemara, it could be that the Rabbanan have in fact a limited time, a Kedei Shira standard for the Mocher as well. And as far as Rabbi Tarfon's increased time for the vendor to back out, that wasn't necessarily something that would have benefited the Tagri Lud per se, because they were, as we said, experts and with low Shchiach the toll. As we go on in the Gemara, we see an incident we call a Maisa. We have a long marking. Ushbizichne the Rami Bar Chama. Ushbizichne is an innkeeper who hosted Rami Bar Chama. Zovin Chamra Vita. He sold wine and turned out that he made a mistake. In other words, he did not receive the amount of money that he could have received. He was underpaid. Ashkeche Dehave Otziv. And Rami Bar Chama met him, finding him saddened. Omale Amai Atzivas, why are you sad? Omale Zvini Chamra Vitoi. I sold wine and I made a mistake in charging too little. Omale Zil Hodar Boch. So Rami Bar Chama says, well, go and reverse the deal. Get your wine back. It's too long. Too much time lapsed since the deal, and more than the amount of time of Kadeshir Latagor has lapsed. Shadre Lekame the Rav Nachman. So he sent the issue to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, of course, was the opinion we saw at the bottom of Nun Omid Beis. Amalei, and he said, Lo Shanu, the restricted amount of time for reversing the deal of Kadesh Yerel Elokeach, that applies only to the purchaser. Aval Mocher, but for the one who sold the item and was underpaid, like you, Le'olam Choser, your ability to reverse the deal is open-ended, so go get your wine back. My time, well, why the distinction? So we answer like we saw before. We saw before the allusion to this in the Rashi. Lokeach mechay biyodai. The purchaser has the item in his possession. Kol hecha da'azil, wherever he goes, machvi le v'amri le ta I lo ta. Wherever he goes, machvi le, he can show it, and they can tell him whether he made a mistake or not, whether he paid too much for it or not. Mocher de'lo nokat mechay biyodai. The vendor, on the other hand, who is not holding the item in his hands, ad demisrami le zavinto kizvinte, until he finds another item like the one he sold, v'yoda ita ilo ta, and only then can he show the comparable item to others to reveal whether or not he made a mistake. Now that could take a long time, so we leave that open-ended. We have a new marking, and on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei / Mivneh heading, we have the crown highlights two Maisim Shemehem Nilma the whole din shall Isur Eino Shachrak Belokeach Min HaTagor. From these stories, we will reveal that the whole din of the prohibition of Ono, of overcharging, that applies only when you're buying from a retailer, a merchant. Avol belokech mi balabais, when you're buying an item from a private owner, a man who is, let's say, pressed for money and he has to sell his own personal goods, eino kein umutur lo lebalabais limkor biyoker, and he is not restricted by the din of eino, and he can sell something for an amount considerably above the market rate, considerably above the, we'll say, the 1/6 increase that served as the limit to how much you can overcharge. So the private person who sells is not bound by that limitation. The Gemara, Hahu Gavra, Dahave Nokit Varshafi Lizuni. There was a man who was holding Varshafi. Rashi says it's some type of material silks that are tied into a type of band or belt. So he was had this item that's called Varshafi for sale. Kari Shiso Veshavyo Hamisha. He requested six, we'll say $6. And when in reality, they were really worth only $5. And this seller would have settled on accepting $5.5. A man came along, a customer came along and said to himself, if I give him 5.5, so that's a half dollar above the going rate. It's, we can say, it's, we'll say 10, it's a 1/10 of the value, the going rate. 1/10 overcharge is less than 1/6 overcharge. So it comes under the category of mechila. And if I pay him 5.5 for something worth 5, I'll end up paying a half dollar more, and I'm not going to see that money ever again, that extra, I'm not going to see that half dollar anymore, because it's considered mechila, where a person is forgiving on that. Therefore, etein lei shisa. You know, I'm going to pay what he's asking. I'm going to pay him 6 for an item that's worth 5. Ve'et be'ei ledina. And then I'm going to summon him to a court case, and I'm going to get back that extra amount that I paid. In other words, a dollar more on something worth 5 is, that's considered a violation of overcharging. And I can get that money, I can get that extra dollar back. Also, lekamei derava. Now, we've highlighted this with a double underline simply to maintain the parallel in structure between this story and the next story, where there also lekamei derav chisda is highlighted with the same double underline. So the case came to Rava. Amale, Rava said, lo shanu, the whole din that you can seek compensation for having overpaid for something, elabalekech minatagor, that applies to someone who buys from a merchant. Avabalekech mi balabayas, but if you're buying from a private individual, ein lo alavo no, the customer has no claim of having paid too much. He has no onoa claim that he can register against this seller. The seller was a balabayas, was a private individual. Now, pretty much exactly the same story with numbers that are almost the same, just 10 times more, but if you keep the same numerical ratio, you'll see that we have the same story ahead of us. Ahu gavra davenokit kifi lizvuni. There was a man who was selling jewelry, kifi, type of rings, for sale. Kari shisin v'shavi chamshin. He requested 60, but their market value was only 50. V'havu yahavi lei chamshin v'chamsho. Havashokil. If he would have been given 55, he would have accepted 55 as well. Also gavra v'omar. Guy came along, a customer came along and said to himself, I give him 55 for the item that's worth 50, so the extra $5 represents 1/10 of the value, being that 1/10 is less than 1/6, I'll be considered in the realm, it'll be considered in the realm of mechila, forgiving of it, and I'll not be able to claim that back. Instead, therefore, I'll give him 60, and I'll have a basis for issuing against him a court claim. I'll summon him to court and get 10 back. Also, lekamei derav chisda. Amalei lo shana lukech minatagor. Rav Chisda answered, just like we saw before, by in Rava, the whole din that you can seek compensation for having over for having overpaid for something is only when you're buying from a merchant. But when you're buying from a private individual, so and you paid him too much, you can't issue against him a claim of oino, of having been ripped off. Amarle Rav Dimi Yasher. Rav Dimi says to him, yes, be strength be unto you. It was a good ruling. V'chenem Rav Lozer Yasher. And Rav Lozer said similarly. Question. V'ho anan t'nan. But do we not have the following Tanaic source that's found in the upcoming Mishnah? Keshem sheino lehedyot kach oino letagor. Man hedyot. The source says that just like there is oino with regard to a commoner, so too there is oino with regard to a professional vendor. Who man hedyot? The reference to hedyot is whom? Lav bala bias. Is it not referring to a private individual selling his goods? And the result then would be that a private individual selling off his goods is just as limited as a standard vendor. To the rules of oino. So how can you say that a private person can charge basically whatever he wants? Omar Rav Chista Bitsadraisa. The statement of the Mishnah that the rules of oino do apply to a private individual, that's when the item being sold is like tsadraisa. This is clothing made of canvas. Canvas maybe is canvas clothing. These are items that people, even if they're private individuals, but they're things that people have for the purposes of sale. Avol. Now, that's in contrast to what we were referring to before, moni tashmishte, diakiriole, personal goods that are of value, special value to the individual himself. Items, his own household items that he has been using for a while, he's become attached to them. There may be an issue of sentimental value that makes them yikirile, precious to him. Lo mazvin lahu, ilav bedomi yisrael. A person would not sell them unless he can get a lot of money for it. So the halacha understands that, and therefore, when it comes to buying personal goods from a private individual, and it turns out that he paid a lot of money, he paid more than the market value of it, too bad, he has no further claim against that balavayas. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.